Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
So listen, everything is nice and smooth when you're on track. When you're on track, your life will be nice. Things will be smooth. Even when it's hard, it's not hard forever. It gets back not to normal. When it gets hot in the car, you just press a button and the air comes. Like whatever wants to happen, you have an answer for it. At the pressing of a button, you are on track. I've never, by the grace of God, witnessed an accident. But many times I come after the accident has happened. Most of the accidents I have witnessed or I have seen, the cars are never really on the road like normally. Either it's off the road completely. It's off track. There's a man who was telling me an accident he was involved in. He said when he woke up, he saw his leg was here by his ear. He said, what is happening? It's like it's my leg. Because they remember it was the same trouser. The leg had broken and it had fallen here. So when he woke up, his leg was greeting him by the side. Hey, I mean, what is going on? The car was off track. And when things go off track, there will be casualties. Plenty. Plenty casualties. Are you following what I'm saying to you? Now, cars are not the only things that go off track. Lives also can go off track. Your life can go off track. My life can go off track. Your life can go off track, brother. In other words, your life becomes bumpy. Have you felt when a taxi left the road? Oh, we all become scared. When the taxi was on the road, we're all happy. We're even chatting. You're talking to your boyfriend. You know, coming down to WhatsApp, and you are just busy. You start stressing. You start stressing because the thing has gone off track. Everybody becomes scared. Now imagine the taxi driver says, hey, relax, this is the road I'm not choosing. Wow. People will start looking for windows. Do you feel when he managed to get back on the main road? Modimo wa rona ke a leboga. My God. There was a car here just between Boshuk. Between Lidak and Boshuk. Few months ago, if you were driving there, you're going to find a car turn like this. You know what happened to that guy? He's driving and he's impatient with the track that is in front of him. So he decided to go off track. You know that, you know those roads, they've just cleaned them. There's no trees, but it's rough. So he left the road to overtake this side. Again, normally you have to overtake this side inside the road, but incoming traffic. But the incoming traffic was too busy and he was in a hurry, so he decided to use the dirt road. As soon as his car shifted from the main road,
it started shaking, it somersaulted, it spun, and it fell flat. Because even the car was shocked. What's going on? I'm supposed to be on this road. I am not meant for this other road. Anything that has gone off track from your life, by the grace of God, we're going to trust God that your life must get back on track in the name of Jesus Christ. Your life must get back on track. It must get back on track. Don't accept what is going on. Don't accept it. That's not the will of God for your life. Are you listening to me? Now, how do things go off track? I'm trusting God to be here every Friday, maybe till December, because I want to take you on a journey every Friday of work. We meet here at 4. We start working. Switch off your phone, except if you are listening to messages. Let's work a bit. I want to see God reward you. I want to hear your testimony. Hallelujah. Before December. We left with 1 month and a few weeks. Let's work. Yeah. The last time I checked, even the people in the workforce, December, give double salary to their employees. If human beings can give double salary in December, what will God do for anyone who takes time to pray seriously this December? Why? Because nobody prays in December. People play in December. So if you can pray this December effectively, double reward shall be your portion in the name of Jesus. Let's quickly look at how people's lives get off track. Because many a times, at least with the car, you can see it going off track. But if the driver was asleep, it is the movement that will make him realize you are off track. But he will not know that the car is going out. And that's the same thing with your life. Many a times, you think you are still on the right road, but you... You are no more on the road. You are no more on the road. And I've shared this in Rustenburg during the week on Thursday. Some of the signs that you are off is, number one, your finances. As soon as you are off track, the first sign that you are off track, your money, you start losing control of the money. That is one of the signs that something is wrong. Money usually tells you are doing something wrong or something has gone wrong. Yeah. Because when everything is fine, even if you only have 5 rand, it will be more than enough. You'll be surprised. When your things are on track, anything that enters your life is enough. As soon as your life goes off track, we can spend 1 billion. It will never be enough. You become like Kamala Harris. Let me not go to the US elections with you guys, because I can say that you don't even know who is Kamala Harris. You are thinking it's a demon that I'm talking about, one of the demons. It's a person. So money reveals to you are off track. You are no more making ends meet. Something has gone wrong. But we never stop to fix it. We just continue pushing. And that's, we keep going off track. Every day I will tell you one sign. That's something. Let's look at how a person can go off track. Quickly, we're now going to go fast. 2 Samuel 11 verse 1. Down to verse 4. Let's look at the life of David. David has a good life. He's killing giants. Things are going well for David, bro. Things have gone so well for David that he's now king. He's in the palace. Everything is flowing for David.
What could possibly go wrong?
Things are about to go wrong.
Things are about to go off track. Yet everything was perfect. He could get any result. Take one stone, kill a giant.
But look at how things are going off track for David.
In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. The entire army, he sent everybody. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. David is a king, and we have entered the spring. It's during the spring that all the kingdom expands. Not in winter, because it's too cold. Not in summer, it's too hot. Spring was the right time. It's the perfect season to go for raids and to go for crusades. So he has entered the season of expansion when he's supposed to get more, expand more, but that's the time he chooses to not go. He sends other people to go on his behalf. And he remains. I'm saying up until here, everything is going perfect for David. But you're going to witness how things can go off. And maybe you can learn a thing or two from that. Verse 2. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. Say with me, hey. I guess we all know what is about to happen. Kosi, Yamakosi. You are supposed to be out there fighting the battles, but you have chosen to stay indoors. It's not hot. It's not cold. The timing is perfect. You're supposed to be outside, but you are not outside. You are inside. And now you are bored. You see, what happened is that when you are where you are not supposed to be, you become bored. Who will wake up in the middle of the night? A bored king. Who is supposed to be in the field with his armies counting the spoil? He is in the palace and he is bored. Then the devil says, no problem. I think I've got some entertainment for you. Come up here. And then he sees a woman bathing. You know, you will. You continue, isn't it? Like you say, hey, hey. David asked for binoculars. Bring me my binoculars on the table there. Now, how do you know she's very beautiful? Because she's far. For you to know that she's very beautiful, you have to look intently. And you have to look for a long time. I should close this message. You guys are not ready for this type of things. You have to look for a long time to observe and start seeing features. Ask your neighbor, how come you know the features? How come you know the features? You even know the size. You know the size. How come you know the size? How come you know the size? You've been looking for a long time. Now you realize she's very beautiful. Then now you see, he's getting off track. How many of you can see the guy is getting off track? First of all, he's supposed to be at his inn. Then he goes on top of the roof and he starts moving around. Then he's now watching things that he's not supposed to watch. He's getting off track. He's getting off track. But until this moment, David can make a reverse. David can reverse and get back on the road and continue his journey. But what David is going to do now is going to determine if he's going to go deeper off track or get back on track. And some of you,
listening to me right now, you are in that stage right now. You are right now in a stage where it's either you're going to swing the wheel this way and get back on track in the tar road, or you're going to say that, you know, there's nothing wrong in checking, and you just, let me just explore a bit more. There's three. David sent someone to find out about her. Ooh! Investigations! Binoculars! Ooh! He's going to her Facebook page. He's assessing the Instagram account because he wants to find out about her. This is the social media involvement now. You are getting deeper and deeper. And you are getting off track. 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 You are checking everything. TikTok, WhatsApp, it's a stars. Every status you comment, you like. Every status you comment, you like. My God! You are deep. But quietly, in the church, you appear holy. You are the cousin of Virgin Mary. I tell you. But, meanwhile, you are having private investigations on the side. You want to know who is this guy. Does he have a girlfriend? I get off track. Slowly. This is how people... Everything is going well for David too. Everything is going well for David. He's winning. He's the king. He's got life. Nice! But things are about to go very well. And it takes only one night. This is the night that changed everything for David. Do you know that you don't need many nights for your life to go wrong? Just one night. One more night. Just one night. Actually, just a few minutes of one night is enough to paralyze everything, to destroy everything. Everything you've been building. Enjoying the message, open also your ears to capture the lessons, isn't it? The man said, isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? They can't bring the exact, this is Google for you, and the exact information. This woman is the daughter of so and so, but she is not available. She is married. She has a husband. And the husband's name is Uriah. He's the son of he's a Hittite. The whole information was given to them. So now you know everything about him. Now you know he's married. Now you know he has kids. Now you know he's this and that. I think it should be enough to turn the wheel back on track. So you know what? He looks good. She looks beautiful. But if the other information couldn't help, now you have more than enough to know it's a no-go zone. Don't go there. She's married. Husband is fighting for you in the field. He's in the bush there. He's the one fighting in the army for you. Like, you can't do this. It's more than enough information. Can I tell you something? Before you go off track, God usually gives you sign upon sign upon sign. God sends a message. God sends a WhatsApp. God makes you see something. Usually there's a lot of signs. But you just choose to close your eyes
and go anywhere. Plenty signs are giving you. You're getting off track. You're getting off track. Get back on track. Get back on track. I want to see. I want to know this thing. You are told the woman is a wife to somebody. And that could be enough. Just okay now. If she was single, maybe. But she's married. Let's see if that is enough to bring David back on track. Verse 4. Then David sent the messengers to get her. She came to him. He did what? Go see what goes. She had purified us. The girl's coming from Piroto. He slept with her. And she went back home. We'll know from history. Sheba didn't resist. She didn't even say, I'm married. Kusiyamakusi. Please, let us not do this. There is not one line in the whole Bible. When Tamar was about to be raped by Amnon, there's a whole verse. They tell you all the things she told. She gave Amnon so much information. Don't do this. This can happen. If you do this, the king can do this. I mean, you will become a fool. And this will happen to me. I mean, she gave so much information to Amnon. Even though, and the Bible says he overpowered her and raped her. There's not one line about Bathsheba. Kind of the loneliness. David was not the only one who was lonely. I get it. Bathsheba was also lonely. She saw an opportunity. Let me also, this man has gone there. I don't know if he's coming back or what. Let me enjoy small. We'll see the rest later. No resistance. Nothing. A wife of somebody. Are you blessed by my? Oh. Four things to learn from this. How people get off track. Number one, dislocation. You are where you're not supposed to be. Every time you find yourself in the wrong place, you are getting off track. We don't prosper everywhere. We don't succeed everywhere. We cannot win everywhere. It's so vital to know where God has appointed for you and where God did not appoint for you. Here is a king whose life now is getting tarnished because at the time kings go to war, he is at home. Home is nice, but in spring, home is wrong. So it could have been nice yesterday, it might not be nice today. Yes, talking to the brother was good yesterday, but today it becomes wrong because of other things. Pastor Pascal, what are you saying? This is my house. I'm in my house. Yes, you're in your house, but you're in your house at the wrong time. Calamity has met you in your house. Dislocation. You are not in the right location. You are not in the right location. And that's why you are getting off track. Your whole Christianity is falling apart
because you keep going to the wrong house. No matter how spiritual you are, if you go to the wrong house, your spirituality is finished. And this is what happens to us. You think you are super spiritual, nothing will happen. Oh, you are making a mistake. You are making a big mistake. The wrong room. You keep going to that room. It's the wrong room. You're not supposed to be in that room. Hello. I think I'm a conscious about MC that these people are not responding to the preaching. You are not supposed to be in that room. You keep going to that room. That's the wrong room for you. It might not be wrong for everybody, but for you in particular, that room is the wrong room. You go to that room, you are getting off track. The wrong house. The wrong friend. The wrong time. The wrong conversation. I mean, we talk about a lot of things, but this particular conversation that has arrived, you yourself can sense that this is the wrong conversation. I must come out of this conversation fast. And you will continue talking. Well, I didn't start a conversation. I must be polite. I mean, somebody's talking. I'm just listening. You are just listening, but you are contributing. And you are getting off track with the gossip. You are getting off track with the lust. You are getting off track with the flirting. It's coming. You can see it's coming. You can already see where it's going. Come on, am I talking to the right people? I mean, you can see where it's going. You can see where it's going. But you are entertaining it. Just like David. David said, no, let me just find that. You know, I don't know if it is what I'm thinking it is. I mean, I don't think this girl can do this. But let me test. You are testing. By the time you are done, you will be tested. If you watch National Geography, you will see those predators in court that think they are praying. But the thing they are praying is praying them. You understand? The thing is behaving the way it is behaving to make you think you can pray it. And the closer you are getting, then you discover that the thing was not a prayer. It is actually the real prayer. You are the prayer. You are the prayer. There's a movie I watched years ago and I regretted watching the movie. In the movie, there is this girl that appeared to be innocent and a virgin. So she creates trust. So people are trusting her. And they are thinking she doesn't know boys. She doesn't know anything. She's just a very nice person. Hey! When she unleashed herself, my God. Even the other person was saying, but you said you are a virgin. What is happening? What is happening? You said you are a virgin. And so he didn't know that she was praying him. Wrong conversations that you are entertaining every week. This is where your Christianity is finishing. That's why the Holy Ghost has left. The presence of God has left. Wrong movies, wrong programs, wrong WhatsApp things, wrong stuff. You are choosing wrong things. It doesn't appear bad yet, but there are signals already coming to you. This is wrong. Don't do this. But you are saying, I just want to know. I just want to see, man. I mean, if I pull out now, I will not know what were his intentions. So let me just figure out exactly. I mean, and then I'm going to blast him with intangs. Dislocation. Number two, delegation. Delegation. In other words, you give people, like you make people do what you are supposed to do. You delegate too much. And excessive delegation leads to idleness. You see, because you are not supposed to be idle. The moment you become idle, there is a statement that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. When there's nothing you are doing, Satan will give you work to do. So for you to not find yourself in a place where Satan is now attacking your mind with bad thoughts, you should never find yourself idle. But one of the ways you find yourself idle, you keep giving people work that you are supposed to do. And please do this for me, ne? And please do that for me, ne? And then what are you doing? Nothing. And because you are doing nothing, you become the target. We are at church, you are at home. This location. Do you know that Satan knows where you're supposed to be per time? You're supposed to be at church, but you are at home. It's a dislocation. It's a recipe to disaster. Oh yes, many people have lost their Christianity because while we were here at the church singing, praise the Lord, they were at home watching TV. And in that watching of the TV, you were now the target. Even tonight, I mean, you tell me something. If I can leave Lida to come to Rebecca, what could stop a person that lives in Rebecca from coming to church? I mean, like, what would that be? Oh, it's a problem in the heart. If these fellows can leave Rustenburg to come to Rebecca, what could stop a person that lives in Rebecca? It's the heart. Nothing else. There is already serious dislocation. You're having a problem. But when you meet the brother or the sister, they will behave. Things perfect. Oh, no, no, God is good. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Wow. I came from Lidak. I didn't see you there. They came from Rustenburg. They didn't see you there. Even as that are here, you will meet such a person and you will still behave as if there's no problem. Because even as our hearts are dislocated, because if your heart is in peace, no, my brother, you're not supposed to do that. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to be at the wrong place. There are serious consequences. So delegation. You don't do anything anymore. You even send your mother, you send your father, you send your brothers. But now you just sit and you remote. The channels and even the people. You are remoting, controlling all of us. What that is doing to you is making you to be idle. You are too young. Tell your neighbor you are too young. Even if they are a bit older, tell them, look, you are too young for such things. Ah, the whole day you are at home. I even gave you work already. You can pray. Amen. Number three, distractions. This is how people go off track. I'm showing you how we go off track. You dislocate yourself, then you start delegating things. You are no more doing anything yourself. Then you are now distracted. Obviously, it goes without saying, because the less you are doing, the more available you are. That's why you end up being on the roof, moving around on the roof. So this is you late at night on the roof. Yo. You are on the, tell your neighbor you are on the roof. Satan has taken you on the roof. On the roof late at night. Take me back to 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 3. This thing didn't happen during the day. No. Are you blessed? Okay, verse 2. One evening. It's not during the day. This thing is happening at night. I shouldn't say it.
I should talk about prosperity. Let's talk about prosperity and prospering in December. In the evenings, you find yourself on the roof. And you know, before, we used to think that it's only the brothers that are struggling with this roof situation. Of late, the sisters have overtaken the brothers on the roof situations. They are jumping from roof to roof. They are jumping from roof to roof. I tell you. So don't sit here. Do Holy Mary for me, please. We are all struggling. We are all struggling. All of us, we are struggling with the roof. I say we are all struggling with the roof. We are all struggling with the roof. All of us. All of us. You are not better. 4 years, sisters are just sitting there in the chair calmly. Brothers are being roasted in the bride stand. Meanwhile, the roof hoppers are just there like that. My God. Hey. Praise the Lord. Say with me, distraction, distraction, distraction. David saw a beautiful woman. He saw a beautiful woman. And that became the distraction. Yeah. You will see a beautiful dress. And that will become the distraction. Yes. Yeah. There's usually something. It's nice. But it is a distraction. I say it is nice. But it is what? A distraction. It is there to distract. Will you go? Will you be distracted by something ugly? I mean, you tell me this. Will you be distracted by a monkey, gorilla, something? Will you? We will never. I mean, it has to be polished. It has to be nice to distract you. So the lady was beautiful. So the movie is beautiful. The movie is nice. The storyline is nice. But it is a distraction. The Instagram page is nice. But it is a distraction. Nice things can be distracting. So which one, can you help me preach tonight? Help me ask your neighbor, what's your current distraction? What is your current distraction? I call it the CD. CD. Current distraction. Your current CD. What is the current one? Because maybe last month you had a distraction, you overcame it, but what is the current one? There's a boy. A nasty looking boy. He has become your distraction. And he's not saved. He's not born again. Even if he's born again, he's a distraction. You can't pray again. Yeah. Number four. Fornication. Pastor, why are you saying such things? Why? Why are you saying such things? But we read the scripture. And David slept with her. You guys are asking yourself, is it again a Friday? Yes, it is. Yes, it is back on track Friday. Back on track. We are getting back on track. We are getting back on track. Yeah. I came for prayer. You didn't pray. We were praying. I was here earlier. You didn't come for prayer, my friend. Let me roast you small. You didn't come for prayer. I didn't see you. I was here. You were not here. Fornication. Fornication. This is where the rubber hits what? The roof. And I want to talk about this in Rebecca tonight. Because you see, this is our problem. This thing you are seeing here. Even those that didn't come today, they smell me. They say, hey, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. But nothing gets us faster off track than this guy.
All my fornicators are saying, Muruti, why are you doing this to us, Muruti? Small Friday prayer we came for, now you are roasting us. Don't worry, my fornicators. God is helping all of us tonight. God is helping all of us. All of us. We are being helped. Agere, we are being helped. Maybe you don't struggle with fornication, but you're struggling with distractions. Or you are struggling with dislocations. Or you are struggling with what? Delegation. These are the four things that killed David. But I want to talk about this last one. Take your seat, please. I want to talk about this last. Nothing gets a man off track faster than lust. 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 And I want you to listen to me very carefully. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. Because I just pick your thoughts. Some of you are saying, I'm not having a problem at the moment. Yeah, it's true. But the problems you are having at the moment, do you understand? Listen to me. The problems you are having at the moment, you'll be shocked that they are connected to lust you had years ago. And you never dealt with that lust. You never dealt with it. Actually, where you are now is the result of all those things that are there. I have learned to respect sexual sin. And if you don't respect it, that's why you will find yourself in serious troubles. Because you don't respect it. You think it's like other sins. It's not. It's not. We have plenty of verses to show you that it is not. When angels fell from heaven, they didn't come and help men to steal. They didn't come and help men to kill first. The first thing that hooked them, I'm a sex with girls. Angels, so. You think the thing is easy? Even angels couldn't survive. Angels that are not supposed to do it. They say, you know what, let's forget we are angels for now. I mean, these girls, the way they are so nice. Let's put angelic. Let's put all angelic roles and responsibilities aside. Let's enjoy this thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a small sin. This one, that's one that is taking David, mighty David, is coming down because of that thing. Wisest king that ever lived, Solomon, came down. I can go on. So chances are, Satan has discovered that human beings struggle with this thing. So he's going to take us on. And he's going to get your life off track using this thing. And he's going to ensure you never say a word. You come and sit in the church. Look very holy. But he knows where he's holding you. And we do all the praying, all the shouting, nothing is moving. Because he's holding you somewhere. And he knows you are too ashamed to admit it. You are too ashamed to say anything about it. Continue playing church anyway. Second Peter 1 verse 4. Let's look at what lust does. By which, having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped what? The corruption, that is where. How is the corruption in the world?
lust. Lust has corrupted the world. Lust. Not murder. Lust is what is corrupting the world. What does it mean to corrupt something? It's to spoil it, to cause it to get spoiled. When something is corrupted, we say it is spoiled. And I want you to understand that in your life, what is causing things to get spoiled? This guy, lust. He's the one. He's spoiling your relationships. He's spoiling your opportunities. And he's spoiling your health. Spoiling your mind. Spoiling things. Corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust carries corruption. So wherever lust goes, corruption is following. So things are going to get spoiled. Things are going to get spoiled. You check it. Two people start sleeping in the church. Before long, they can't stay in the church. The whole thing is spoiled. Everywhere lust goes, it spoils things. You have to check it. You check it. Two people are good friends. Then they began to lust. Before long, the friendship is spoiled. Lust. Lust destroyed David because he saw a woman. He had not touched her yet. He saw her, then he started lusting. And just like anything, the moment you start lusting, you will go to the next stage. You will want to taste it. So all of us that are struggling with masturbation, you cannot struggle with masturbation just like that. No. There's first pornography. You gotta see something. And what you see stimulates you, and which now leads you to want to do something. That's how it works. Without pornography, masturbation will not work. One controls the other. They feed each other. Will you agree that if David didn't see that girl, he wasn't going to fall that night? He wasn't going to fall. You too, if you don't watch, you will not fall. Start by watching first. You see, you watch, and you replay, and you go and check another one. Then it's building hype. Then you reach your climax. The body said, look, I'm tired of watching. Let's try something now. I mean, this is enough. We are ready. Look at these people. Like I'm talking to the angels in somewhere in Mars. Meanwhile, some of them here are saying, Muruti, I can see that you don't even know the latest ones. I mean, like you are in the old syllabus. You are in the old syllabus. You are talking to old crocodiles. We master these things. Look, I'm not here to expand on your knowledge of sexual matters. I'm just here to make you aware of something. Lust spoils. It destroys. I know you are told you're going to enjoy. I know you are told it's going to be nice. That's the advert. All adverts are supposed to be attractive. But the advert and the reality, if you've checked the KFC advert, and the KFC advert on that thing there on the screen, and the actual beggar, when it comes to you, you will see quickly that is there a night. Actually, of late, I realize it's not just KFC. All of them. The chips are shown to you. You can think that it's Mount Kilimanjaro. When the chips arrive, they are the bamboos of China. So the advert amplifies things. They are amplified to draw you, to get you off track. So if we're going to get back on track,
In Kalanyoni. I mean, sorry. Hey, they say, look at. Oh my God. In Rebecca. It starts with sexual purity. And I'm talking to all of, including mothers. I know you are mothers, but I will teach. I say I will teach the teaching. I will teach the teaching. I will teach it. I will teach it. I will teach it. Everything will get back on track if we start, number one, sexual purity. This is the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. I don't know how else to say it to you, that if we don't fix that sexual matter, we are just wasting our time over here. Because Satan has hooked you there. Everybody here knows how they are relieving themselves. Proverbs 9:13. The Bible talks of this woman. Look at this woman. The woman named Folly is brash. She is ignorant and doesn't know it. 14. She sits in her doorway on the height overlooking the city. She calls out to men going by who are minding their own business. These guys are on track. They are on track. They are moving with their lives. They are going somewhere with their lives. They are minding their own business. But there's a distraction calling you on the side of the road, drawing your attention on the side of the road. These girls are on track. There's a distraction calling for you on the side. You are minding your business, so you went to school to pass. I mean, you didn't go there for boys. But you'll be surprised. There's a call on the side. You went to work to try to help your family, but at the work day, something is happening to you. Right there at the work, as you are trying to fix the problems of the house, there's a calling, a distraction, a dislocation coming for you. Verse 16. Listen to her. Come with me. She urges the simple. Actually, are you a simple person? Are you simple? What are simple? Those who lack good judgment. They lack good judgment. They don't think thoroughly. You understand? They are moved by the hips and thighs. That's all this. Ooh. Yo, Lord help me. I can't hold it. You are a simple person. You lack judgment, good judgment. I'm teaching this in Rebecca. I can't believe I'm teaching this in Rebecca. And I'm teaching it in Rebecca. And I'm going to sleep peacefully tonight in my house. I'm not going to have a problem. I'm going to sleep peacefully. I'm going to rest. Oh yes. There's no problem. I'm teaching the word of God. I'm using scriptures. I'm showing you the word. Maybe you will get back on track this year through this message that you are receiving right now, that your life can get back on track. By the way, this is what got me off track. There's this thing that is going on. My pastor doesn't know about it. My shepherd doesn't know about it. Everybody thinks I'm perfect. Yet my life has gone off track long time ago. Do you know that David kept this thing a secret for years? And people thought David is fine. Nobody knew. Except David and Bathsheba. And the guy who was... the errand boy. And a lot of us are sitting here. I tell you, there are things that only you and the boy or the girl and the in-between person telling you guys now about. And the doctor. For some of you. And the doctor. Verse 17. Listen to her. Stolen water is refreshing. This she's trying to, a person that is on track minding his business, she's saying to him, baby, stolen water is refreshing. Food eaten in secret tastes the best. And she's saying to you, this thing will remain a secret. Nobody will know about this. But I mean, back to, let's be honest. Let's be real with each other. Have you noticed? I mean, can I be real with you guys? Or I shouldn't be real in Rebecca. I mean, have you noticed that? Have you noticed that when things are done in secret, Nyana? Do you understand? When nobody knows, you know. That's why men cheat. Because, I mean, when he's going out with his wife, it's the same old. But when it's a small chick by the side, you understand, that he's feeling himself that, no, there's a project, Yana. So we like the fact that it is in secret. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know what is wrong with that. But like, I don't know. But we just seem to like it because we like darkness. It's true. We like darkness. So things that are done in secret, nobody knows. It's a little thing there in the office. Only the two of us. We have our password. Nobody knows. They are thinking that we are talking. Meanwhile, we are planning things. And they are all lost. It's bread eating in secret. Secret bread. You are in the church. Hey, messages. You. Shepherd is blinded. He's Bartimaeus. Can't see nothing. He's even encouraging it. He doesn't know what's going on. Food eating in secret. The best. You even ask yourself, where does this man get this type of inspiration? Like, what type of sentences are these? Where, which dictionary is she reading? That the words are captivating. That's how these people are. They seem to say what you like. They just say the right word. Have you dated a guy who says just the right word? I mean, like, when he talks, oh my God, like, you forget Pastor Pascal, you forget Shepherd MC, you forget all of us. Because the words are hitting. Verse 18, please. Let's finish this thing. But little do they know that the dead are dead. Her guests are in the depths of the grave. Her guests. Anybody she invites become a dead person. Proverbs 6:26. A prostitute will bring you to poverty. Now, I know some of us don't go to prostitute, but you see, you must understand something. Exchange for sex is a form of prostitution. Because here in Rebecca, sometimes we get food for sex, we do a lot of things for sex, because of things for sex. It's prostitution. And the Bible says a prostitute will bring you to poverty. Sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life. And it's the same. Sleeping with another man, another woman's husband will cost you your life. That is also something that is very prevalent in Rebecca. Snatching other people's husband and wives. 27. Can a man scoop a flame in his lap and have his clothes and not have his clothes catch fire? Can you put flames on your clothes and your clothes don't catch fire? It's not possible. Verse 28. Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet? No. 29. So it is with the man who sleeps with that man's wife. He who embraces her will not go unpunished. And I can reverse it. So it is with any woman who sleeps with another man's husband, another woman's husband. You touch him, you're going to pay. Just King James it, or New King James it for us. Just this verse. So it is who goes to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. Just to touch. Some of us say we've touched. Oh, hey, you've touched. I mean, like you've been touching. You've been touching. Are we helped tonight? Are we? Look, I just want to tell you something. Next week, Friday, I'm here again teaching about the same things, just so that you can run away. If you want to run away, it's very easy. Don't come, because next week, Friday, I'm back. With more bullets. Poo, 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 poo. Yes. Yes. As we close tonight, this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. I'm out of time already. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, let's go. No, reverse it. Say it is God's with an I. You understand? Replace you with I. Go ahead. Yes. No, go back. Don't go. Let's go back again. Verse 3. I want you to read it again. Is it a good scripture? Read it again one more time. Verse 4. That I should, go ahead. So now put the two verses together. We're going to read them one time. 3 and 4. Can you do that? Alright, put the two together. Are you ready, guys? Replace everywhere you see. You both put I, you understand? 1, 2, 3, let's go. Yes. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now tell your neighbor the same thing, that it is God that you, are you ready? Find a neighbor and baptize them with this message. You see, now when it's another person, you are very, very, you are very excited now. When it is somebody else, you are ready to shoot. When it was you, now you became a sheep. It is God's will that I should. You're feeling sorry for yourself. Now that I said talk to somebody, it's you, come. Is that our hypocrisy? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, let's go. Hey. Hey.
together for Jesus. Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And one of the ways to do that is found in the book of 1 Corinthians 6:18. Very simple formula. What is it? Flee. Flee. Don't try to explain. Don't try to check yourself. No, flee. In other words, create separation. Fleeing is all about avoid contact. The more you flee, you see, the more separation exists. That is, fleeing is all, make a gap between you and this person. Block them. Erase them. Don't keep their pictures in your this thing. Clear them. Erase all the messages. Including that one you like so much, you keep reading it. Erase it. You are fleeing. That's how you do it. You guys are so quiet. It's like you are saying, we will not do it. We will not. Okay. I'm trying to help you. This is how you do it. Stop talking to them at night. Are you a vampire? Am 3 a.m. you are still talking. Only vampires are active at those vampires and witch and wizard. Those are the people that are active at those hours. Are you a vampire or are you a witch? Like you are also now. We are all. This is the time you are also busy there with some sacking of blood. Praise the Lord. So flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. I'm trying to show you this sin is different. It's not like the others. This is a senior sin. It's a major one sin type of a sin. It's top. So those of us that are in this like on a regular basis, you have become a senior. You are into senior sins. Hey, I respect you. Yeah, you are busy with some top level official. Next scripture, that is 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust. Flee. Don't entertain it. I see you fleeing in Jesus' name. Now, for some of us that have fallen already, you've messed up. I also have a verse for you. Again, I need to encourage you. If I leave you now like this, you'll be depressed. You might not come to church on Sunday. So, I want to encourage you with this verse. You see, when you have fallen, you can do something to rise again. And it is called repentance. Repentance. Say with me, repentance. Repentance. That's what it is. That's all. But people don't repent, they explain themselves. They give you reasons why they did what they did, as if it's about that. It's not about that. Admit you've made a mistake. Admit that you've made a mistake. You failed. I mean that it was a real failure. Or what was that? You went to somebody's house. You enter bedroom, remove clothes, lie on the bed. Then you say, no, it was not just. You fell. That's not the point. Yes, Lord, forgive me. Back to our story. David was not going to say anything. God had to send a prophet to confront him. But after David was confronted, God sent me to now to confront some of us. David didn't try to justify himself.
David said, "No, what? Yes, I did it. I need help." And he wrote a whole psalm to confess his sin to God. And that psalm is in your Bible as a constant reminder that even a king humbled himself. I mean, if King David, in charge of the whole nation, humbled himself, wrote a psalm that the whole nation was going to read and see his mistakes, who are you and me to not come out and say, "Lord, forgive me"? Psalm 51, just a few verses, and then we're going to close. This is David speaking after he fell and was confronted by a prophet, I think, Nathan. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions." Verse 2. "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Wash away. Wash away. Cleanse me. These are words that must come out of me. Wash away. "I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me." You know, when you've done something wrong, Satan will bring video. You've done this, man. So David is telling her, this is what is going on. That's what some of you lose your joy. Because Satan keeps reminding you, "You've done this, you've done this, you've done this." That's why we need to go to God and get repentance and cleansing. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. And then verse 4. "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." The main thing there is that he said, "Against you have I sinned." David fell with Bathsheba. But he realized that he actually sinned against God. Do you realize that what you've done, it was against God? Or you just say, "No, it was just me and so." It's against God. Even though he fell with Bathsheba, but he realized, yes, messed up with God. Do you feel that way? Or do you feel you and God are fine? I mean, God, we are sharp. So this thing that happened down here has affected up there. And if you're going to get back on track, it's got to start with us going to God. "You know, I didn't realize this is what was going on. I missed that, man." The good news, last verse, 1 John 1:9, I think. This is what I'm hoping you can do before we close tonight. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Do you remember David asking God to cleanse him? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what I'm hoping that you will do tonight. That you will ask Jesus to forgive you. These are some of the sexual sins that you can find yourself into tonight. I've listed them. Lasting after people. You see a person, you start addressing them and all those sorts of things. You never even talk to the people, but you just undress them all the time. Flirting. Oh, down the screen. Thank you so much. So lasting, flirting, sexting. By sexting we mean you text people, but it's very, very sensual. It's very sensual. Like you're very, very graphic in your wording, that it actually depicts
things that shouldn't be. Sending nude pictures, pornography, masturbation, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, voyeurism. You know what is voyeurism? Watching people naked without them knowing. That's voyeurism. In other words, where you are staying, maybe you are living in a house that doesn't, that maybe is using the sink. And I guess someone doesn't have holes. And you are watching your sister when she's undressing. You are watching your father and mother when they are doing papa mama business. Meanwhile, you're supposed to be asleep. You are busy. Some of you even have like, you have different angles. you check this angle and you check this other angle. Hey! It's called voyeurism. Voyeurism. You are watching people in compromising situations without them knowing. So it's voyeurism. And then prostitution. Those are the few I could. Maybe there are more. I just captured this. You say you could find yourself into one or many of this tonight, or you were involved with such at some stage of your life, and you never dealt with it. You never did anything about it. And I'm telling you, you started going off track with this. Just like King David started going off track with this. Then before King David knew, he killed somebody. Then before King David knew, a baby died because of him. The husband died. And he entered cover-ups. He started covering up things. It then very ugly. I mean, the guy moved from this mighty king to this terrible person. He went off track. He went off track. That cricket must die sooner or later. It's competing with me in the church. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? Hallelujah. I'm sorry if I tempered on some of your feelings in the moment. I just thought the truth is what sets us free. We need to know the truth. Amen. There are 7 things that we need to do to get back on track. This is the first one. Sexual purity. Next week, I will give you the second one. By the grace of God. I'm trusting God to be here every Friday. Because I think it's needed. You guys need a bit of revival. Hallelujah. So, we are here. We are here. Praise the Lord. And I've decided to not announce it. So that those that really want to be blessed will come by themselves. So you can be surprised. Maybe next week you will come alone and I will not be here. I just appear again, just like that. And I bless the people. Hallelujah. So for you to not miss me, you have to come every Friday. On time. For work. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. And we're going to thank God for tonight's word. If it was a blessing to you, I mean, these things, I want them to stay on the screen so that you can pray, isn't it? So we're going to thank God first. And after that, I'm going to give each one of us a chance to just go before the Lord. The good thing tonight is that the blood of Jesus has been shed on the cross. You don't have to leave here feeling guilty or anything. That is not the purpose of the teaching. It's just to raise awareness. We go before God, we receive our forgiveness. The Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might receive grace and find help in time of need. This is the time of need. This is the time of need. We need help, isn't it? So let's start by just thanking God for the word. that came tonight. Open your mouth and just start thanking God for the way he spoke to you tonight. Come on, let's start talking to the Lord.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.